It's USDA report day. I know you know that. Heck, you might even be dreading it. But frankly, the reports are at least third on my list of important items to cover today. It's mid-August and rains are falling in the middle of the country. And the cattle market, it's responding to the loss of significant slaughter capacity. I'd probably lead with those two items this morning.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Matt Youngman from Farm Progress, Pro Farmers Jim Wiesmeyer, and Greg Peterson. Machinery Pete will stop by for a look at the world of iron. And right after the news, hold on to your bumper suits. It's Michael Clark from BAMWX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, welcome back to the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk, your beloved host, Chip Lorre.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good to have you back.
Thank you, Davis. I appreciate that.
Man, what was that, like a month? You were gone. Was it a month? Did I have that right?
It wasn't quite a month. It
seemed like a year.
I tell you what, when you get away from everything,
yes,
you know, no cell phone, none of that connection.
No, even there isn't even any ambient light up there.
No, there is none of that. And then you cross back into this great country of ours, and you take your phone off of airplane mode so that you don't have to deal with the international roaming and all that stuff, you know. I didn't want to do that. And your phone just starts going ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Yeah. Oh, that's kind of dreadful. But I can't believe all the stuff that happened last week while I was gone.
It was an enormous week, dude. I don't even know where to start.
Right. And I'm going to get a download, update, whatever you want to call it, on all of those issues from Jim Wiesmeyer here at the bottom of the hour. I'm looking forward to the conversation with Jim, just because every now and then you just need to make sure that you're up to speed on all of these issues. And so we're going to do that along with the news here in just a second. So,
for sure.
Yeah. It was great to be away from the market, but I tell you what.
Yeah.
It is really good to be back at the mic. We've got a big week getting ready for the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour that is next week. This kicks it off. This kicks it off because after Crop Tour, then we've got Farm Progress Show. We're going to talk to Matt Youngman about that today. It's a real active period that we are getting into, no doubt. All right. What's in the news?
Well, Chip, as you said, traders and farmers alike are squarely focused on today's reports from USDA, which will include revisions to prior reports. Corn, soybeans, and wheat futures are under light selling pressure ahead of the report. Did you see the cattle complex? I haven't clicked back over there. Locked limit down already, and that was the case from the second I got here to my chair.
Well, yeah, I think that's where it did open there. It opened limit down, and I think that's going to be – today isn't the only day, Davis.
Right. Well, right. A fire at a Tyson packing plant at Holcomb, Kansas, forced the evacuation of all 1,200 employees on the job at the time. While no injuries were reported, the damage from the fire was substantial, causing a section of roof to collapse. A statement from Tyson officials says the plant will be shuttered indefinitely. Experts are assessing the damage and have not yet indicated when the plant will reopen, saying, quote, the plant will be down indefinitely. I don't like the sounds of that.
Well, there are some signs of hope here already, though, and we'll talk about this with Wiesmeyer in just a bit.
Good.
But Tyson is paying the employees the weekly guarantee, to keep those employees in town and to keep a viable workforce. If they thought that it was going to be 6 months, they might just look at, but if it's going to be a couple of months before they get that place back up and running, they want to keep the employees right there in town.
You bet. You bet. Well, you're not going to like this, but the Environmental Protection Agency late Friday granted 31 small refinery exemptions for the 2018 compliance year. The exemptions account for an estimated 1.43 billion gallons of renewable fuel, second only to 2017's 1.8 billion gallons. One corn market watcher reckoned the exempted requirements equate to adding 5 to 6 bushels per acre to the U.S. crop. The move left biofuels groups fuming. National Corn Growers President Lynn Crisp said in a statement, quote, waivers benefit big oil at the expense of corn farmers who, between losing export markets abroad and ethanol markets at home, are losing patience. She says, Mr. President, you proudly stand with farmers, but your EPA is not following through. National Biodiesel Board President Kurt Kovarik chided, quote, EPA and administration personnel are well aware that the ongoing spree of big oil exemptions destroy demand for biodiesel and render the RFS program meaningless. And Chip, I wasn't able to see anything in here about reallocation.
Oh, there isn't. I don't think there is anyway. We'll talk to Wiesmeyer about it, but you know, you can blame EPA on this all you want, okay? But look at where the buck stops. And that is in the White House on this issue.
Well, negotiations with China are at a standstill, and an expert on China relations told the Wall Street Journal over the weekend he does not believe there will be a resolution until after the elections. Political analysis in China has officials there believing former Vice President Joe Biden will capture the presidency in 2020, and it is believed a Democrat president would be softer on enforcement than would a second-term Trump administration. Now, reports have surfaced that China has lowered duties on export nations that compete directly with the United States, including Japan and the European Union. Research from the Peterson Institute says, quote, while Trump shows other countries nothing but his tariff stick, China has been offering carrots. Let's cut it off right there, Chip.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get into more of that with Wiesmeyer as well. Let's talk weather. We've got Michael Clark, BAMWX.com, on the line with us. Michael, I'm telling you, there's so much going on in the news world right now. And these rains that are making their way across the middle of the country yesterday and today might be the number one news item because it's so important to the corn and soybean crops.
Yeah. Significant rains over the weekend and even ongoing this morning, especially portions of south central Illinois, 3 to 5 inches of rain, flash flooding ongoing. And then another round of thunderstorms tonight in that central Illinois, central Indiana area, which desperately need the rain.
Yeah. And odds are really, really good that those dry areas over there are going to get it.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, it's, you know, this is the sixth driest stretch in 127 years.
Wow.
For that area. So they desperately need it, and I think they're going to get at least a couple of shots of it here over the next couple days.
Okay. Then after that, does the pattern calm down a bit?
You know, it really doesn't calm down. In fact, I think that the rainfall might be trying to kind of make a comeback as we get week two into week three. It'll warm up next week, but another bigger cold front towards the end of August could bring another round of cooler temperatures and another round of rainfall as well.
Okay, now with that warm up for next week, are you talking rain with it or no?
Further to the central and western corn belt.
Oh, great.
Now and further north as well. So it will get warm where it's been dry for a time. I tell you, though, even towards the end of this week, some more beneficial rains for Iowa.
Okay, very cool. So what you're saying is that the rains are going to follow me around out there on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Is that what you're telling me, Michael?
That might be it, yeah.
All right, buddy, thanks. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much. That is Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. We got Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson, up next right here on Ag Talk.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
They call it the World's Fair of Agriculture, and for good reason. It's all there for the folks who farm, the Farm Progress Show. Make your plans to be in Decatur, Illinois for the 66th Annual Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th. Get more information at farmprogressshow.com. See the latest in farming up close, talk to exhibitors and factory techs, and watch the equipment work in the field. We'll look for you at the Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th at Decatur, Illinois.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
See the latest tech and agriculture at the Farm Progress Show, the nation's largest outdoor farm show, August 27th, 28th, and 29th in Decatur, Illinois.
We will be there all 3 days in Decatur, Illinois with AgriTalk. We'll have details on where you can find us. Stop by, say hi, be part of the show while we are there on the grounds at the Farm Progress Show. We'll have all those details for you later. All right, let's bring him in. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing well, Chip. How about you?
You know, I'm doing okay. After being gone for a week, I'm feeling refreshed, recharged, and ready to rock.
So, ready to go.
You betcha.
No break is good.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So I'm looking at your notes, and I see Pete's pick of the week, and I'm all excited because I'm kind of myself in the market for a skid steer. And then I see this, and I'm thinking, how in the heck can I compete for something like this? Let's talk about your pick of the week.
Well, you still got hope, Chip. I'll clarify a little bit. But, right, okay. The pick of the week came Saturday, just up the road from me in Kenyon, Minnesota here. Beautiful farming community. And my friend Matt Maring, I'm one of the best auctioneers around. They had their consignment sale. I think they have three a year, but beautiful case, 1845C skid steer on the sale. Only 478 hours on it, one owner.
Wow.
So obviously a really rare type of thing here.
Yeah.
It sold for $22,500. Now, again, when I go back and look at all the auction prices, we've got a zillion of them on 1845Cs. 22.5, that's the third highest the last 20 years, second highest in the U.S. The highest, people might remember this one, it was actually almost exactly 8 years ago, August 27th of 2011, in Weldon, Iowa. And that was a 99 model. That one only had 157 hours and brought $30,500.
Yeah.
So bottom line is, it's like all farm equipment we talk about every week, Chip. If it's really nice condition, lower hours, that stuff is tending to be a little up right now, skid steers in particular. Mm-hmm. But, you know, depends on what you're looking for.
Well,
there are definitely buys out there.
Yeah, and it seems like we're still continuing the trend that if there's a livestock connection to a piece of equipment, that there seems to be a little bit more strength in it.
Yeah, if it's good condition, right? A skid steer, grinder, mixer, the loader tractors, definitely. That segment has been really steady. We highlighted items quite often the last 18 months or so.
Right. Right. And you know, I don't want to give the impression it's because those sectors are booming or anything like that. I think it's because they went for so long without upgrading that when that higher quality piece of used equipment is available, they need the upgrade and they get out there and get it.
Right. And I think two other factors that help. One is, you know, versus the 300, 400, 500 horsepower track on the tractor front, you know, the horsepower involved is smaller. So it's that whole thing we talk about a lot, where if you stay under a certain dollar level, no matter how tough things are in the ag economy, on the used market, good conditions sell well. So if you get, you know, 60, 65K and under, which, you know, would hit a lot of the, you know, good used loader tractors. That market's been steadier for sure. Plus, like this 1845C, I did a blog on that Saturday, and one of the comments, which, you know, spot on, somebody said, well, man, you know, that thing is, you know, whatever, late 90s, that 1845C, it's 20 years old. Now you're getting into the whole thing about its simpler engine, you know, that thing, and here's a like new one, what's a new one cost, you know, whatever, 60K plus. So 22.5, really, you know, it depends on how you look at it, but might be a bargain.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's like new old stock. Yes, yeah. All right, you've got three highlights here from the great state of Iowa. Let's get into these. What happened over at Dyersville?
Yeah, nice sale Saturday. Our friends at Sullivan Auctioneers. If you like Red Equipment, folks, you might want to check out the video I posted yesterday that they sent from this auction. Really clean stuff. They had a 2005 Case H 2388 two-wheel drive combine, only 2,181 SEP hours on it. That brought 82,000, which that's pretty high test there. But again, it was the condition is the whole thing. That's the second highest auction price in 46 months on a 2388. Mm-hmm. Then on the tractor side, they had a 97 model 8940 front wheel assist, 5,053 hours. That went for 61. Second highest price on an 8940 in 41 months. And then a planter, kind of cool, Case H 950 12 row, brought $9,100. So again, there's video, and it's kind of fun. The guy selling it wasn't Dan Sullivan, it was actually Kyle Ferguson, the new young auctioneer. He's only 21 years old.
Really?
But Kyle does a great job. And yeah, cool that Sullivan's supported, got him into the auction biz, and fun to see Kyle sell this stuff for big money.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Buffalo Center. What happened there?
Buffalo Center on Friday, our friends at Galing Auction had a nice farm auction on the green side here. Just a couple highlights. Had a 76, John Deere 4630, only 3,765 hours on it. Brought 15.4, but probably not a bad buy there, actually, with those hours. Had a 99 John Deere 8300 tractor, just under 5,500 hours, brought 62,000. And then a combine, another combine, and slightly older, just like that 2388 chip. But this one was a 2010 9670, 1730 engine hours, sharp. That brought 100K. And for perspective, average auction price this year is 88,300. And actually, the current average dealer ad price on a 9670 is $106,022. So, 100K was pretty good on that 10 model.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. Now this story I love, because this story for you, I think it started last fall, didn't it?
Yeah, folks at the Iowa State Fair probably saw this tractor up close. But a young man just graduated from North Fayette Valley Community High School in West Union, Iowa. His name is Easton Halverson. And I think it might have been Friday. He was awarded overall grand champion at the annual FFA Tractor Restoration Competition on his 1966 Oliver 1850 diesel.
Cool.
So if you want to see a picture of it, and a picture of Easton, fine young man there, standing next to it on our Facebook and Twitter, you can find that. But you're right, Chip. The story goes back a year ago. I was invited down to visit with the FFA kids there, North Fayette Valley. And it was one of the most fun YouTube videos I've ever done. It was an hour and like 10 minutes.
Yep.
And we just walked through. All the kids brought their tractors. They were working on the restoration.
Yep.
And I just filmed and talked. Now, Easton was in the video. And in that video, he was telling me about his John Deere 70 that his great-grandfather bought.
Okay.
And I just found it so refreshing, Chip. And you see the same thing when you travel.
Oh, yeah.
To see young people in ag that are passionate and you know are going to do great things, it makes you feel more hopeful for the future. So I put a link to that video in the post. And hats off to Easton for Grand Champion. They're very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. And Greg, hats off to you on that video, too, because some people would be tempted to just kind of, okay, let's get through this. You took your time with those young people.
Oh, well, asking questions is...
That was phenomenal.
The FFA leader there, Ryan Holthaus, did a great job. And I think that program is great because I believe part of the competition for these kids is actually verbal talking about what they did.
Yep.
So that experience, public speaking, is hugely valuable. And the kids were great.
No doubt. Hey, before we get to the podcast that you just launched, what you got going on this week?
Well, this week, hey, folks, if you're going to be around Joplin, Missouri on Thursday, come on out to Heritage Tractor from 4 to 8. They have a really cool used combine seminar they're putting on for their customers, and just folks want to come out. So I'll be down there speaking and visiting with folks, probably do a little video. My friend Kurt Miller, the used equipment manager, great guy, invited me down. So, again, I'll be in Joplin Thursday evening. So if you're in the area, come on out to Heritage Tractor.
Cool. And, you know, like you didn't have enough to do, you just launched a new podcast this week.
Well, this is funny that, you know, all the different, you know, we do TV, radio with you, which I love, Chip, social media, YouTube. But I think this podcast, I don't know. It might be the most fun thing I do because it's just like with those North Fayette high school kids. I like asking questions.
Yeah.
And we launched the podcast last week. If you're into podcasts, go wherever you go to download them. Just look for Machine Repeat. You'll find it. Our first guest was very cool. Director of Illinois Agriculture, John Sullivan, which John, of course, was with Sullivan Auctioneers. Mm. But he was a state senator for 14 years. So we had a great conversation about the growth of the hemp industry in Illinois and how John was involved. Really important to get all the rules and regulations defined early so people can hop in and go for it. John is a get things done guy. And I was also interested, Chip, to talk to him because John was an Illinois senator from a Republican area, but he was a Democrat.
Yeah.
So there is hope working across the aisle and getting things done. So
there you go. Love that. Greg, have a good week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great, Chips.
Yeah. All right. That is Greg Peterson, the guy, Machine Repeat. All right. When we come back, we're going to bring in another guy. That is Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer. He'll get me up to speed with everything that's going on out there in the world of agriculture. Next, right here on AgriTalk.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beej, I don't know if there's been this much anticipation of a crop production supply and demand report ever.
Possibly never. And keep in mind the FSA certified acreage data is also out at 11 o'clock. So, I mean, we've got we're going to be drinking from a fire hose here in about a half an hour.
Right.
I mean, the data's coming at us hard and intense, and there's a lot of it.
Right. Okay. Real quick, trade expectations, crop size on corn and soybeans?
Huge ranges. I think that's the key, is the average guesses are you know, what they are, but the ranges are 800 million bushels on the corn crop and like 440 million bushels on soybeans. So there are going to be surprises, no doubt about that. That means the market will move and probably move pretty swiftly following the report data.
Yeah, it's just a question of, is it going to move up or is it going to move down? This cattle complex, that fire, boy, this is going to take some time to work through.
Definitely. Open limit lower in both live cattle and feeder cattle are locked there. So live cattle are down to $3 daily limit. That would expand tomorrow to $4.50. The feeder cattle are down their $4.50 limit today, and that would expand, obviously, again tomorrow to $6.75. So, significant impact here from the fire at that Tyson plant, like you mentioned.
Yeah. When you're talking about 5% of the cattle that are slaughtered every week, it's going to have an impact. A little bit of strength in the front month hogs.
Yes, they opened under pressure on spillover from cattle, but have rebounded here. So that's a good sign in the hogs.
Gotcha.
Mild pressure in part of her future.
Brian Grady.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me, and we're going to bring in Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Jim, how are you this morning? Thanks for making
Pretty
time.
Pretty good. We've good, got information good. Overload coming out, Chip.
Dude, this is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. I'm gone for a week, and I come back, and I start trying to get caught up, and I quickly realized that I need some help getting caught up because so much happened. But I don't let's kind of go in chronological order because
sure.
Last week started with, I wouldn't call it a meltdown, but it was a deterioration of the trade talks between the U.S. and China again, right?
Yeah, several steps back and not many steps forward, Chip, on that. And that's kind of where we are at now. It's just a continuation of that.
Yeah. So where do we stand next? Because some of the analysis from Michael Pillsbury that was in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend and that you summarized very excellently on ProFarmer.com, that's very telling on what to expect here.
Absolutely. First, the Trump administration appears to be walking back a little bit, Chip, that they're now saying we want the negotiations to continue in September. This is part of the negotiation process. Now, Michael Pillsbury, who's a Trump China advisor, really unloaded by saying he personally doesn't think that there's a good chance for any trade accord until after 2020 elections. And he said that the Chinese told him in the 2016 elections that their internal analysis showed that Trump was going to win. And even Pillsbury said he tried to argue with them, but they were right. Now they're thinking Joe Biden will be the Democratic presidential candidate and will win. And so they're taking that strategy in to delaying some of the trade negotiations.
Yeah. So it feels like it has become a Chinese. It's confirmed that it's the Chinese plan to wait out Trump.
Absolutely, according to him. And boy, yeah. I would put some money on his inside knowledge. And he said it began sometime in April when they had the full translation of the 150-page English written document. Yeah. And that's when the Chinese officials who could not understand English got the real ramifications of the bona fide enforcement language. However, he left a series of hope there by saying, by signaling to me that you can still deal with Trump, that the Chinese ought to know that Trump has given them some initiative, such as calling the Hong Kong incident a riot. And mm-hmm. and that caters to Xi's line, Chip. So yeah. it's not all step backwards here.
Okay. Let's stay on the riots or the protests. And it is important on word selection there because of what you just described. But this is put your perspective on this, Jim, because to me this feels bigger than many are concerned about.
Oh, most of the people who live in Hong Kong think that they're in a democratic wedge for China, and now they're beginning to, you know, doubt that. I think this goes big time, Chip. If there were any significant deaths as a result of this continued protest, I'm not predicting that, because that would put pressure on the Trump administration to react to any escalation in the Hong Kong incident.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Let's move on to these waivers at EPA.
Yeah. Yes. That broke after markets closed. We got some fairly accurate projections. I think Reuters was off by one, so I'll give them that one for accuracy. But the latest announcement exempts an estimated 1.43 billion gallons of renewable fuel, and that's second only to the 1.8 billion gallons exempted in 2017. And aggregately for all these waivers, they're above 4 billion gallons of biofuels. The corn, groups, biodiesel groups, the soybean groups, they're up in arms over this one because they're and a number of lawmakers from both political parties saying, Trump, you're destroying billions of gallons of biofuel demand, and you broke your promise to Iowa voters to protect the renewable fuel standard program.
Are they right when they say that?
I think there's elements of truth in that. The conundrum, Chip, is that the court system has told the administration, both the Obama administration and the Trump administration, that you have to consider the economic impacts on these refineries. So this is a dilemma here. But it's not getting good sector relationship for agriculture. And this is going to follow Sonny Perdue around wherever he goes now, because he was instructed, as you recall, by Trump to work with Andrew Wheeler, EPA director, to come to a successful conclusion on this. And agriculture is not calling this a successful conclusion.
That's right. Is this the event that changes agriculture support for Trump?
It's a big chink in the armor, because the corn lobbyist in this town has consistently said the RFS is their holy grail. Well, this has a big dent in it. So I think this could take a chunk out of it. There's still the hope for reallocation of some of these gallons. I just don't see it myself. I'm not hearing that from anyone. And EPA didn't breathe a word about reallocating
any
of these gallons. No. So this is adding to the list, Chip, that Trump is going to hear the reaction when he goes out to farm country on this one, because of the potpourri of negative statements from almost every group that you find.
Right. Okay, another Friday event, and that is the fire at the Tyson plant out in Kansas. boy, we talked about it with Brian Grady. Cattle futures open limit down, both live cattle and the feeder cattle futures. I would expect more price pressure the rest of this week because it's going to be tough to find the space throughout the packing industry to handle that 5% that was processed there at Tyson's in Holcomb.
Yeah, it tells me at least how tight the capacity was. Is that not correct?
And well, it's about it. What it shows me, what it is showing me, is just how finely balanced the industry is between the supply coming to the market and the shackle space.
But any hiccup, you get a big market reaction. What we're seeing today,
and this isn't a hiccup. I don't even want to describe it the way what it is.
But this is a hickey that won't go away.
There you go. Yeah, and we've got a lot of cattle now that we need to spread out throughout the industry. Now there is some hope and some speculation that they're going to be able to do that, but you got to wonder if they do move those cattle around, how long will they be able to do it? And it's going to start to pack things up.
And is this flowing to the hog market as well?
No, not too bad yet.
Oh, that's a good sign to me.
The hog market opened up under a little bit of pressure, but we've got some strength in the nearby contracts now. It's going back and forth on both sides, unchanged in hogs.
Okay. Well, they're saying they're going to rebuild the plant at the same location, but indefinite time, as long as how long that will take. But this is a blow to the cattle market, no doubt about it.
Yeah. You know, and we watch your beef prices too, okay? Because if this does tighten up the supply of beef moving into the marketplace and we see the boxes start to strengthen in value, that could limit some of the selling price. But there is a difference between beef demand and demand for cattle. And demand for cattle just got whacked. Just got whacked with
this. Yeah, I think eventually, any uptick, the cutout price should show some improvement here, but it may not last long, I think, is what you just said.
Well, and it doesn't translate into more demand for cattle. That's the problem in this case. So, right.
And it tells me the capacity just cannot be killed to arrive, as I would write it. There has to be a little excess capacity.
Tyson was already bought three weeks out at that plant.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, and all the other plants that could maybe take it are at least 2 weeks out. This is a logistics nightmare. Yeah. Is what this
anyway
is.
You got it. Yes.
That is exactly right. Oh my gosh. Okay, today's the day. Big reports. Have you ever seen this much anticipation ahead of a crop production supply and demand?
No, not really. When the years when we had major food price, talk on the national networks, when we didn't have the internet and you had all these bow-tied reporters coming over to USDA and what did the reports say? I think it's analogous to that, Chip, actually. But that was in the 70s. So you have to go pretty far. You have to go pretty far back. I just hope NASS explains in the reports what they did and how they did it, I think that they will, but that has been lacking of late. So I'm a believer in the integrity of the system, but I hope that they explain in to the marketplace.
Understanding the process is very important in all of this, and NASS needs to do a better job of explaining some of that process. I don't think there's any question about it. All right, buddy. Thanks for the update and getting me up to speed. We'll talk with you again soon.
Anytime.
All right. That is Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. When we come back, it's almost farm progress time. It's coming up the week after crop tour. Good grief. We'll talk to Matt Youngman about it next.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture. And here at Ag Day, agriculture is what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
They call it the World's Fair of Agriculture, and for good reason. It's all there for the folks who farm, the Farm Progress Show. Make your plans to be in Decatur, Illinois for the 66th Annual Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th. Get more information at farmprogressshow.com. See the latest in farming up close, talk to exhibitors and factory techs, and watch the equipment work in the field. We'll look for you at the Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th at Decatur, Illinois.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
The 2019 Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is coming soon. kicking off August 19th. Watch for extensive coverage on air and online. The premier sponsor of Crop Tours Pioneer, with support from IBM, RCIS, RAM, AeroVironment, Titan Tires, Farm Mobile, and Farm Credit Services of America. And welcome back. Glad that you could join us again today for AgriTalk, first hour of the show here. Just getting started, Davis. I mean,
yes,
we got a lot to do today. In about 9 minutes, we've got the USDA's crop production and supply and demand report coming.
Coming right up, baby.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be an important set of numbers for this market to digest and deal with. So, yeah, let's bring in Matt Youngman. Matt is the National Events Manager for Farm Progress, which means he runs the Farm Progress show. Matt, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Really good, Chip. Glad to be with you.
Yeah. So, tell me, is everything ready to go down in Decatur?
Yeah, it's getting to be crunch time. Setup officially started today, but for the last just short of the last month, we've had tents going in the air, landscaping going down. The electricians have been doing their work. It's just all really starting to happen and getting really exciting. Got a real nice inch of rain with more rain falling there right now, which is tough on setup, but really good for those field demo crops.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask next, is how are they looking? We going to see the field demos?
Yeah, it might be a little wet. The corn might be a little wet, but, everybody in the Midwest knows what a horrible spring it was. Yeah. And we ended up going with about plan C on maturities. You know, plan A was to plant 94-day corn on April 5th, and obviously plan A was nowhere near ready to happen, so we ended up May 17th getting 85-day corn in the ground, we've had nice heat through the summer, and it's cranking along real well. Actually, this rain is a good help to get it moving along, and now a little bit of heat to finish it off. I'd expect that we're going to see corn in the high 20s coming off the field demonstrations, which obviously isn't optimal, but we've done much worse things to combines than that in the past. So we can definitely say we'll be doing demos at the show.
That's awesome. That I was worried about it. And it's such a highlight for everybody, Matt, that is awesome that you're going to have the field demos up and running. Anything in particular, you know, a year ago, you guys were floating a tractor. anything cool like that for people to look for this year?
Well, we've got several cool things happening. In addition to combine demos and tillage demos and things like that, just getting the corn off, allowing the combines to do the setup in the days leading up to the show, creates the room for us to do a lot of other things, whether it's overflow parking, which we expect to put to work because nobody's certainly going to be in the field, and we look forward to a good crowd. But, you know, when I start, I've been doing this a long time, as you know, Chip, and when I started this in the mid-90s, traded corn and GPS things were like Star Wars. They were unheard of, and nobody thought it'd ever be day to day. But now, you know, we've watched traded corn and beans come and go, and GPS and auto steer are now regular parts of most of everybody's farms. And so now we get to set new ground rules so that autonomous tractor companies can compete side by side. So having autonomous machines running out in those demos is going to be a real highlight. And then we've been tiling 40 acres every show for the past several Decatur shows, and we're adding a new safety demonstration this year where we've buried some pipes in the ground, and we're going to put a huge air compressor on the other end of those so that we can do a mock gas pipeline strike in the demonstrations, so folks can kind of get a firsthand view and maybe shock them a little bit in terms of making them think about farm safety when they go out to do deep tillage operations, are certainly tiling things and building fence and those kind of things.
Oh, that'll be fascinating. That'll be really cool.
Yep.
Really cool to see.
That's been a big project, and you know, there's lots of safety things going on. We're going to premiere a Hollywood movie at the show site about grain bin safety. Silo is a movie that we're working with the producers on to get them some exposure, and you know, it's a real live gritty look at what farmers, you know, go through in those bins and what some farm families have had to suffer through. And I think it's a nice thing to have in mainstream Hollywood movies, something that, that really depicts true life out in the countryside. There's certainly a lot of good things safety wise going on at the show.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. What other live events should we put on the schedule?
Well, there's, you know, the, you guys have plenty of stuff. And then our hospitality building, Morton has built a new shop house, a shouse and an outbuilding. So we gave them our hospitality spot. We took over their Morton building. So we're having all of our stuff inside the old Morton building. And then, you know, in addition to what Morton has built, AGI has put up several bins in a new building, a beautiful new permanent exhibit. GSI has moved and put up a new couple of towers. So there's a catwalk across 3rd Street going from the AGCO lot to the GSI lot. And you know, never before have we had this much permanent construction in a summer leading up to the show at the show site. So there's lots of things that have been built.
The site has changed. It's changed a lot.
Well, the site has changed. The map has changed. You know, you look at, since the last time we were here in 2017, there have been a couple of really massive mergers with the Bayer Monsanto and the Dow Corteva. And so the map and the exhibit field is all completely different. And so it's really exciting to have that much going on in the industry right now.
That's cool, Matt. That is really cool. It's a big effort, dude. We know that. They couldn't have anybody better in charge of it. That's maybe just my opinion, but I believe that, Matt. Good stuff, man.
All right. Very good.
We'll see you down there. You know, we say this every year. Let's try to get together, you know, but let's really try to get together while we're down there this year, okay?
That'd be great. I hope I have time for it.
That would be awesome. Thank you, Matt. That is Matt Youngman. He is the National Events Manager for Farm Progress. It's coming right up, Davis.
Yeah, it's right up here on us. In fact, I'm sharpening my pencil right now.
Yeah, that's right. Now, in the afternoons, we are going to be at Rabo AgriFinance all 3 days, okay? And in the mornings, we're going to start out at Syngenta on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we'll be at Sullivan Auction and then FMC on Thursday.
All right.
So
sounds great.
We've got a lot of coverage coming for you from the Farm Progress Show. And we got the reports coming up next. Davis and I are going to have all the details of the USDA reports for you this afternoon in hour two of AgriTalk.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist. What do you call someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst. A person who studies DNA? A geneticist. A person who owns their own business, an entrepreneur, who researches markets, an economist, and who handles employees, an HR manager, someone who keeps devices up to date, a software technician, someone who does business internationally, a global trader, someone who transfers assets from one generation to the next, an estate planner, and someone who does all these things, you call them a farmer. Because being a farmer is the one job that requires dozens of other jobs. And at Pioneer, we're proud that our job is to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.